T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Look alive! It's showtime!
Now live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, it's Chuck and Winkler on The Fan.
So shut up and listen.
Doors open in 3, 2, 1.
Hour number 2, Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries, live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. He's Chuck Freeman in his usual seat. Ryan Horvath filling in for Bart Winkler. You just heard from Sam Schmitz. You can find us all on Twitter. Tweet at the show at 105.7 FM The Fan. Phone lines open 414-799-1250. Which Milwaukee Brewer needs to have a huge bounce back season in 2020 for the crew to contend in the NL Central? We're going to talk with Tim Allen, host of Hot Stove Weekly, the postgame show, in about 15 minutes from now. We'll also talk with Eric Name at 8:35, talk some Bucks basketball. The Bucks off until Thursday. They'll take on the Pistons in Detroit, take on the 76ers this weekend. That's the one we're really looking forward to. Plenty to talk about here on the show. Before we went to break, I was talking about this pitching rotation. A lot of question marks. Corbin Burns, a question mark. One guy I think is going to have a pretty big year, and crazy as it sounds, is Eric Lauer. Heard a story that he was working out at the Brewers Complex last month, threw a changeup. Somebody walked up to him and said, "Hey, I got some ideas for you." Now, his changeup's always been his last resort. He throws 5 pitches. He's got a 4-seamer, a cutter, a slider, and a curveball, but he used the changeup less than 4% of the time in each last 2 seasons, so he doesn't use it a whole lot. 24 years old, only Freems. He maybe perfects that changeup. He's got the 4-seamer. The only thing that scares me, at 24 years old, 261 innings of experience, his ERA in 2019, 4.45. 2018, a little bit over 4 as well. Do you think that he can maybe, I'm not going to say he's going to become your ace, because you have Brandon Woodruff, or Brandon Woodruff, if some people are calling him this morning.
Yes,
but
Woodruff.
Do you think he could win 16, 17 games, maybe get that ERA down to around 3? I mean, ERA are a little bit overblown, but I think that he could have a bounce back year.
Yeah, we've had a few callers call him Brandon Woodruff. Now, confusing him with Steve Woodruff, the former Brewer who pitched here 20 years ago, but it's Woodruff. Brandon Woodruff, who should be a household name this year, because I think he's going to have a breakthrough year.
I think he wins 20 games.
And I think he's going to get to the All-Star team.
As long as he keeps that oblique healthy.
If he stays healthy, that oblique stays healthy. But Lauer, you know, he's a guy who's only been pitching majors for a couple of seasons so far, has yet to have a winning record. But he's a guy, I'm looking at him as a bottom of the rotation guy. On a good baseball team, he should be a bottom of the rotation type, a 4 or 5 starter. And that's the whole problem with this Brewer rotation right now. You have a lot of guys in this rotation, other than Woodruff, who are, you know, maybe number 3 in rotation guy best. Most of these guys are 4 and 5 rotation guys. You're counting on some of these guys, like Adrian Hauser, to come out and be the number 2 starters.
He should be a spot starter.
He should. That's scary, man. That's scary. And we all know the price of pitching is expensive, but I would have loved to see them get another guy next to Woodruff in that rotation this year, and they didn't do it in the offseason.
I think they're really banking on Lauer. And I mean, I brought up 261 innings of experience, his ERA in 2019 over 4, 2018 over 4. But if you look at his whip, his walk rate, and his strikeout rate, they were all better, actually, last season. He uses his fastball a lot. It's hard to hit. He also leans on the 4-seamer and that cutter heavily last season. You're looking at 53% of his pitches were 4-seam fastballs, 21% cutters. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what he could bring to the table. I want to see what the young guys could do. I want Corbin Burns to have a bounce-back season. Freddy Peralta is kind of a question mark, because a couple years back I was doing an on-deck show and somebody asked me, rate the Brewers pitchers 1 through 5 or something like that. And I was really high on Corbin Burns, obviously, but I thought Freddie could be a Major League Baseball. I thought he could be a starter. And then all of a sudden we were talking about him being a closer. Weren't people calling in comparing him to Mariano last year at times?
Yeah, because he pitched like that for 2 days.
I don't know, because he's it's just so inconsistent where he'll strike out 13, give up two hits and a run, and then the next outing he can't make it out of the first inning. And he's walking the bases loaded and he's getting lit up. So he's just a question mark. And I feel like you just have too many question marks in this rotation. And to compete in the division this year with the Reds getting much better, we don't really know what the hell the Cubs are going to look like. I think the biggest surprise when Pecota did those projections, at least for me, is having the Cardinals, who won the division, didn't really do a whole lot this offseason, but they have Paul Goldschmidt at 80 and 82. I don't know if I agree with them taking that step back. The people in St. Louis would go crazy. But I do have concerns about this rotation, and that's why I thought you should go out there and get yourself, if not a Gerrit Cole, which you can't afford, at least a serviceable starter like a Tanner Roark, a guy that's won over 15 games in a season and things of that such.
Well, Peralta's fastball, he saw some velocity on it last year compared to the year before. Remember his first game in Colorado a couple of seasons ago? He had that 13-strikeout game on Sunday. I think it was Mother's Day. And he was great. He was great, and it's like, man, this guy could be something special. And, yeah, he's shown flashes of it, but not enough consistency. And out of the bullpen last year, you know, he pitched – there was a couple of games he was really, really good. And then he'd go through these stretches where he couldn't get anybody out. He was walking guys, leaving pitches up in the strike zone. And, you know, you do that, you're going to be destroyed in baseball.
Right.
But, you know, he can still strike out batters. He's better as a reliever, I think, as a starter, though.
But so you think that's his future as a reliever?
Right now it looks like that.
And he needs to add another pitch, I guess.
Yeah, right now it looks like, I mean, he's got a fastball. You know, a lot of life on that fastball, but, you know, if he doesn't have that other pitch, man, as a starter, he's going to get drilled.
414-799-1250, we're asking you which Milwaukee Brewer needs to have a bounce-back season in 2020. We're also talking about the signing of Brock Holt, spent 7 seasons with the Red Sox. Hara Keston tweets in at 105.7 FM, The Fan, at Chuck Freeman says, good move by the Brewers. When Keston needs to be removed late in the game due to his defense, this dude could take over. Now, do you think that that's a possibility right there? Obviously, Keston here, one of the best bats, I mean, in your lineup. I know Pecota's projecting him to have a 250-type season, maybe with 25 homers. I'm going on the over on that. But do you think maybe that's a possibility because he still struggles defensively and our callers freak out about that?
See, that's another thing with Hara, though. I mean, how much did he get better defensively here in the offseason? He's working his ass off down at spring training, trying to get better defensively at second base. And it's a good thing that, you know, Craig Counsell, middle infielder by trade in his days with, you know, so many other teams besides the Brewers, hopefully he's going to help Hara out a little bit at second base, because as good as Hara was offensively, he was just as equally bad defensively. Throws the first base, bobbling double play balls, you know, not getting to certain balls. He's got a lot of athletic ability. He's got to be able to corral that and be better defensively at second base, because if he's giving away outs at second base, he can have 3 hits in a game, hit 2 home runs, but if he's committing errors at second base and costing him runs, he's giving those runs right back with his defense.
Right. Chris tweets in at 105.7 FM. The Fan says it's all about pitching. If the Brewers pitch well, they'll have a good chance to win. Offense philosophy is one where the collection of guys is worth more than the individual defense. Well, maybe. So a lot of people concerned with the pitching staff. Brewers fan likes the move of picking up Brock Holt, says he's a solid utility guy. The new HP, they're creating an interesting set of interchangeable parts, but how will they all mesh? I guess that's what spring training is for. That's what I'm interested in seeing, is what's the finished product, because I trust in David Stearns. Guy knows way more about baseball than any of us do. He's a genius, a baseball genius. We'll hear from him on Thursday on this program at 7:15 a.m. But I just want to see how all these – I want to see the finished product, and I don't think we'll see that until after the All-Star break. Would you agree with that? Like, opening day, that's not going to be what this lineup looks like after the All-Star break, or if you are – and that's the other thing I'm wondering, Frames, is let's say that the Brewers just get off to an awful start, just a brutal start. And I know we don't even want to think about that. We don't want to talk about that. But what's going on with Josh Hader, the future of Christian Yelich? Do you think maybe that there's a possibility that if they get off to a rough start, the Brewers are sellers at the deadline, and maybe they try to get something for Josh Hader before losing out on him?
Yeah, not Yelich, but Hader. Yelich,
you're not getting rid of Yelich.
No, you're not getting rid of Yelich.
I'll boycott baseball.
No. But Hader, he's a possibility, because it's not going to – you know, the Brewers have him under control for a few more years, and he is, like, in the top 3 closers in baseball right now. And obviously, at the trading deadline, teams, I don't even want to think of the fact that the Brewers might be sellers in July. I would absolutely hate that. But, you know, that's a possibility. If they don't think he's going to be part of the future of this team, if they're not buying out his arbitration years and they're continuing to go war with him at the arbitration table, they may have to trade him. Here's another thing I'm going to ask David Stearns about. We get him on Thursday. Okay, your farm system right now is weak. You got to replenish that farm system. How are you going to go about replenishing that farm system? Because if you have to make some trades at the trading deadline, sure, you saved about $30 million in the payroll this year, but you don't have any ammunition. Your minor league system, you've either brought these guys up from the minors to play on this team, or you used those pieces down at the minors to make some trades. So you went from having one of the best farm systems in baseball to one of the worst. But that's just the nature of it. When you get a good baseball team and you're trying to add pieces, you're going to trade away some of your pieces. And, of course, some of those guys aren't going to pan out. You know, a guy like Corey Ray, you know, is Corey Ray going to ever find his way up to baseball?
I feel like I'm forgetting that some of these guys are even in the organization when we're bringing up these names.
I mean, Corey Ray, what do we got here?
Right.
I'm going to ask this about Tim. Tim, when is Corey Ray going to find his way up here? He's blocked. I mean, but where is he going to play? He's an outfielder. You know, they go out and make a deal for an outfielder in the offseason. But this should be Corey Ray's spot. Ray should find a way on this team, but he can't get his way up here. And that's either by injury or because he's not productive enough.
Pete says, so us fans are supposed to be excited about a team full of utility players and one superstar in a rotation with no proven arms. Yelich will be traded by the All-Star break, and I will be shocked if this team wins 70 games this year. 70 games. I'm going to take the over on that. We'll see what Tim Allen, host of Hot Stove Weekly, which is coming up tonight, 6 to 8 p.m. right here on The Fan. We'll talk with him next. But first, Freems, maybe if everybody's a little down in that Brewers clubhouse, you have something that could maybe pick them up, especially in the bedroom with their ladies once they get home.
You know, our listeners out there, man, let's say that woman of yours is not having a good time these days. She's not very happy.
She's having a Justin Smoke type season.
Oh, one of those type of years, man. Well, I'll tell you the way to get through that. BlueChew.com, your first chewables with BlueChew.com. The same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. Here's what happens. You get on BlueChew.com. These affiliated physicians will work with you to find the right dosage and active ingredient that's really the best for you. These chewables from BlueChew.com can take them on a full or an empty stomach. And from what I understand, you know, this BlueChew is really working in southeastern Wisconsin. People are hearing me talk about it, taking advantage of the offer I'm going to give you, and good things are happening. And a lot of smiley faces, a lot of happy couples out there as a result. You get online with an official physician from BlueChew.com. They're going to ask you some questions. You got to answer them honestly. And everything works out, man. You are on your way to a better sex life. BlueChew gives you the confidence to bet every time. You and your partner will love it. Now, here's the deal. Visit BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com. Get your first order free. First order free when you use the promo code Chuck. You pay the $5 in shipping, and that's it. BlueChew, the color blue, BlueChew.com, promo code Chuck. Guys, take advantage of this offer. Your first order is free. You pay the $5 in shipping, and that is it. It's going to help you and your partner have a better sex life, give you confidence in bed every time. Chew it and do it with Blue Chew. Again, first order free, promo code Chuck. You pay the $5 in shipping. That's Blue Chew. BlueChew.com, promo code Chuck. Chew it and do it with Blue Chew.
Over on Twitter, Brian says, I think the biggest bounce-back candidate is someone that wasn't even a Brewer. Smoke needs to have a big power year to have another threatening bat in the lineup. We'll hear from Tim Allen, who needs to have a bounce-back season in 2020. Host of Hot Stove Weekly next here on Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Chuck Freeman in his usual spot. Ryan Horvath in for Bart Winkler. Bart Winkler getting a little load management. He'll be off the next 48. Back with us on Thursday when we'll talk with Brewers GM David Stearns. We'll also talk with Bucks GM John Horse. 414-799-1250. Phone lines open. Tweet at the show at 105.7 FM. The Fan. Brewers make a move yesterday, bringing in cult hero Brock Holt into the organization. Spent 7 seasons in Boston. He's hit for the cycle twice, Freems, including the only player ever to do it in the postseason. Did it against the New York Yankees. Hot Stove Weekly back tonight at 6 p.m. Hosted by this man right here, Tim Allen, the franchise. Tim, what's up?
Hi, Al.
Morning, boys. Nursing a little bit of a hangover today, but other than that, everything's all right.
Celebrating Brock Holt last night?
I was, yeah. No, and I'm a little ticked off, too. I just, went to grab a couple hundred bucks out of the ATM and didn't get the money, and it says I did. So,
oh, Al. Hey,
I got that mountain to climb.
Horvy and I were talking yesterday with Bart about the I went to the sports book in Hammond, Indiana. Wisconsin better not get one of those here, because that's going to be trouble. That will definitely be some trouble.
Oh, how much fun is that going to be?
It was outstanding, man. Went there. I went there for 2 hours thinking I was going to stay for an hour, but I stayed six.
And, now you gotta press the Brewer bet over.
You think the over on the wins? Is it like 75 or 80?
It's around that 80 mark, depending on where you go.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me is a shoe-in. I'm going over, way over.
You think so? Man, I'll tell you, some of these signings in the offseason, they're not landmark signings. I like the addition of Holt, but it seems like the Brewers have a lot of Brock Holtz on this team.
Yeah, yeah, no, and the Ronnie Rodriguez and Mark Mathias and Eric Sogards and Jed Jerkos and Justin Smokes, and it appears that they're trying to figure things out. Versatility is huge, and we're going to find out how some of the new rules are implemented here, and we're going to get into that on Hot Stove Weekly tonight, because it is really interesting. I think former Brewers GM Doug Melvin had been on this, Chuck, and you're aware of this, for many, many years about the roster expansion in September. He's always wondered why, you know, you play a certain standard for 5 months of the season, and then all hell breaks loose in the final month. So a 28 max in September, a 26-man roster now, but you have to designate, you know, 13 of your guys to be pitchers, and we won't see as many position players in blowout games unless you designate them as one of your pitchers. So there's some moving parts there, and also just the moving parts of the versatility. And we won't see, and this is the biggest thing I'm watching for, or one of the biggest things I'm watching for, is how the Brewers really utilize the back and forth. And we've always made fun of seat backs, upright position, tray tables in their proper position, because it's a back and forth affair with some of these relievers. You're not going to be able to do that as much, because now you're going to have to spend 15 days down there instead of 10. Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting, because that's what the Brewers have done here in the last few years, at least, that back and forth affair with some of these relievers. There's a lot of things to think about here.
There certainly is. And there's a lot of guys on this roster who I think that they have to have them. I was telling Horvy earlier, about an hour ago, I'll perform what we think they're going to do. And if they want to contend, if they want to be 81-81, okay, just go have average seasons or less. But, I think you look at the third base spot, and I think if they're in contention, they're going to find themselves a power-hitting third baseman. But some of these guys got to outperform their contracts, certainly, and what they've done in the past.
No, Chuck, you're right on. But Craig Counsell has been pretty transparent about that, and he really has helped my philosophy a little bit over the past 3 years or so, and that is to expect that, okay? To expect a couple of players to exceed what you had planned for them. But you also have to remember that there's going to be some unforeseen negatives. You don't know what they are. I don't know what they are. We can't go into a season saying, well, we're gonna have some injuries and things like that. You know you're gonna have some. You just don't know what the names are yet. You know you're gonna have guys just having. Look at Lorenzo Cain last year. Hey, the guy hit 260. The year before, he hit over 300. Mm-hmm. His on base was 325 last year. The year before was 395, guys. But you ask Craig Counsell, and he'll say, well, you know, you expect things like that. You expect the challenges. You just don't know what the names are on those challenges. So he has really helped out in that philosophy. But you need that, Chuck, to answer the question. An Eric Sogard to play like he did last year instead of 2018. That'd be huge. Or to have, you know, one of these guys just pop up and Keston Hira to have a full season in the bigs is really something to look forward to. Justin Smoke, does he have you know, comeback player of the year written all over. You just never know. Narvaez, the catcher, is he going to be an all-star? You just don't know these things, and that's the cool thing about it.
Hot Stove Weekly back tonight, 6 p.m., talking now with the franchise, Tim Allen. Tim, do you think the Brewers are relying a little bit too much on Ryan Braun? I mean, I know playing outfield, playing first base. I feel like they're treating him like he's going to play 162 games this season. What are realistic expectations for Brawny this year?
If he can match what he did last year, I would be overjoyed. He had a fantastic season last year. He really did. And now we're getting some clarity as to the usage of Ryan Braun interfaced with that outfield. So how much first base? Well, he's going to play more first base than, and then this is just my prediction, he's going to play more first base than anybody ever thinks. He's going to be there a lot. Yelly's moving back to left. That's going to be his permanent spot. Avisail Garcia going to go over to right. When Ryan Braun is in the outfield, he's going to be in right field. But it's going to be interesting to see this final year for Ryan Braun in a Brewers uniform, or is it? Is it the final year in baseball for Ryan Braun, or is it? He alluded to that some weeks ago, whether or not this would be the final stint for him, but you know, if he can hit that 275 mark, 20-plus homers, knock in 70 runs, get on base at a 340 clip, every one of us will take that.
I don't like the idea of Yelich moving from right to left, and this is why. Because he's got the best arm in the outfield, and I think he has saved them a few runs by gunning guys down at right. You want that guy with a cannon in right field, and I think by moving to the left, you know, I think not that anybody can play left, but you're kind of wasting him a little bit in left field.
Maybe. Brawny's arm is not bad, Chuck. I mean, he's always been an outfielder that plays it safe. He really has. He doesn't take too many chances out there, so you're fairly safe with Brawny. But his arm is no slouch either. But you know, Avisail Garcia, a big dude, but can move. I think their outfield may be one of the better outfields in all of the game. If Avisail Garcia has a little uptick with the good numbers that he put up last year, I would say, you know, I'm assuming Lorenzo Cain has a bounce back season. That might be one of the better outfields in the game.
You know, I like what I've heard from Cain. You know, he's dropped a little weight. He dropped 12 pounds. He's put down the ice cream and the cake that he eats each night before going to bed. And he's dropped 12. I mean, you look at him and you think, man, you know, Cain's not overweight, but he thought he had to lose some weight to help his health a little bit and stay in better shape.
He seems motivated, and you're right. He did come back 10, 12, 15 pounds under what he normally is. And, yeah, I'm with him on that diet, a little cake and ice cream at night. I'd take that. But I'm looking forward to this outfield. It should be outstanding.
Same here. And then talking about the pitching staff and the bullpen, Josh Hader loses his salary arbitration hearing. What is your – it's just a flawed system, and I know a lot of relief pitchers are going to be pissed because you look at the save numbers, and it's just, you know, it's not the same as it was 10, 15 years ago. How much do you think Josh Hader is worth on the market, and what are your thoughts on what's going down with that?
If they have a closer, and they do in Corey Knebel, however, that's not going to happen for a month or two into the season. He is so valuable, Josh Hader, especially now with the new rules implemented. With relievers having to face three hitters or the inning ends. That is huge, guys. I mean, if someone can take the reins and be the closer and slide Hader up. On the arbitration thing, it is a flawed system, you're right, because it's a delicate situation for an organization. It's a delicate situation for the player. Mm-hmm. It has these guys sit down at a table and literally bash one of your own players. And that's maybe bash is a little harsh. But that's the system. You say, we want to pay you this, and then the player comes back and says, no, you should pay me $2 million more.
Right.
No, we're not going to do that because of A, B, C, and D here. So it's almost like you're bashing your own player. I think the players say the right things. They get it. That's just the business of baseball. But I don't see why the Brewers just didn't meet in the middle and just meet right. They were about $2 million apart. Just give them the extra million. Now, again, he went from $685,000 or so to $4 million. Now, to you guys and myself and our listeners, that's, I mean, you're handsomely paid for this stuff. But relative to the baseball players and his peers, I still think he's underpaid. Chuck, he's a $10 million guy.
Yeah, he is. He is. He's worth every dime. And I feel like Brewer fan tends to get on Hader, but these guys who are closers, they're not invincible. They're going to give up. They're going to cough up. You know, he coughed up that game in Washington, a wild card game. But he has earned so much equity with us. I just think like Brewer fan can get down on Hader once in a while, but he's great. He's one of the top three closers in baseball. Yeah, he deserves. You know what Kimbrough got with the Cubs? That's what Hader should be making if the system wasn't so flawed.
And he will, though. Eventually he will. It wasn't just, you know, in D.C. It was, you know, a couple of days before that, as you recall, Chuck, in Colorado.
Mm-hmm. He had meltdown there, too, yeah.
And you saw signs of the league starting to adjust to him. Now it's his time. It's his turn to readjust to the league. He's outstanding. Guys, best reliever in the National League for the past 2 years. I think he is so important to this. That whole bullpen ticks around him.
A lot of controversy in Major League Baseball. I know you're back tonight, Hot Stove Weekly, 6 p.m. What are your thoughts on the Rob Manfred press conference?
It's a circus.
That ESPN thing. It's ridiculous, ain't it? Yeah,
the whole thing is a circus. We have to think a little bit of a bigger view on this. And when you do formulate your opinions on this whole sign-stealing scandal, and it is a scandal, don't get me wrong, we have to remember that this is a pioneering thing. This is an evolution of technology intertwined with the game of baseball. We have to consider that. I'm not giving Rob Manfred a pass at all. I'm just saying that consider that in your philosophy. That, you know, he had to nip this thing. He had to give players somewhat of immunity here to make sure he had all the facts. And I think that you have to look at it that way, that this is something that who'd have thought we'd have been going through this even 20 years ago, right? And technology, as it continues to get better, we're probably going to have to look back at something like this and say, okay, what was the precedent set? What were the punishments doled out here when this first broke? Now, there's been stories of La Russa doing it down in Chicago at Old Comiskey Park. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Mm-hmm.
So this, you know, technology and video has been going on for a while. But this is a bigger story than people think. You have to catch this now as technology gets a little bit better. The robo umps, I don't know if someone could hack into whatever signs are called on a buzzer system or an earpiece, or this could go on and on and on. You got to make sure we have our heads on straight for the punishment and for our philosophy in this, because it's technology, and who knows what the technology is going to be even 5, 7, 9, 10 years from right now.
You know, the cheating that happened with the New England Patriots and now with this Houston Astro thing, these are just the people who got caught. This stuff happens all the time, but these are just the people who got caught. I mean, there's a lot of this probably going on. Not necessarily stealing signs, but there's got to be other franchises that are cutting corners and cheating. Don't you think so, Al?
I would assume so, that this has been going on. I think it's curbed to a degree because now people are watching. When a fan puts out a video of, you know, trash cans, and then look at the off speed pitches, and when this whole thing broke, that's the first thing you thought of. How did it impact us here? Mm-hmm. Were the Brewers involved? And you know, I asked Adam McAlvey that about a month ago, and it surprised me, his answer, that it wouldn't surprise him. And not that he had any inside source or inside knowledge or anything like that. It just wouldn't surprise him in a big picture. Everyone's going to continue to push the envelope a little bit. What I don't like, and regardless of whatever anybody did, I am not a big fan of throwing at somebody. I'm just not. A little brush back, okay, send a message, give a stern look, give a mean look. But to intentionally throw at somebody, which is some of the talk here these days with regards to the Astros in the box, not a big fan of that, guys. You put someone in the hot, you could kill a guy with a baseball.
Absolutely.
And I just don't like that philosophy of it. You guys know my son went through the grind of baseball and all the way up through college, and mm-hmm. You know, the whole way through, no matter how upset you are, never throw at a dude. Now, he says, well, you can hit him in the thigh, you can hit him in the tail, you can send the message there. Again, things uh, things are wicked enough in baseball. I hope that doesn't happen, guys. I was just reading this story, Horvat. This is up your alley. 66 times is the average of a team getting hit by a ball throughout a season. So you going over on the Astros?
I'll probably go under, actually, because I just think they're going to be protected, and I don't think anybody's going to want to deal with what comes
up. 4.5 to 1 that they get hit 110 times. So almost doubled. That's almost 5 to 1.
See, I'll tell you this. Like, obviously, I hate the whole scandal, and it's BS, and I wish that these guys were punished. But how do you punish them? But the one thing is that I'll actually agree with Bart, and there's a few things that we agree on. I like that now there's a villain in baseball again, because when the Astros play the Yankees especially, I'm going to actually be tuned in. You know, really, I'm just watching the NL Central throughout the season. This year, I'll actually probably take more interest in the Astros and in the American League to see what the retaliation is.
Yeah, I do believe that the Astros are going to get some must-see TV for sure.
Al, have a good show. I know you're gearing up for spring training. You're going to be going there March 7th, man. I know it's a big week for you.
Oh, just cannot wait. Just enjoying some off time before the grind and the 2020 championship season gets underway.
All right, recover from that hangover, my friend.
A little bit, just a little tiny
one. A little bacon
one.
Will help you. Get a little
Monday
grease
night
in you.
Drinking for Allen last night. That's great.
That's right. All right, guys. Have a good day.
That's Tim Allen. You can catch him tonight, Hot Stove Weekly, 6 p.m. He joined us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Has your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. We'll be back. More Chuck and Winkler next here on The Fan. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Chuck Freeman, Ryan Horvath. We just talked with Tim Allen. Hot Stove Weekly back tonight, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Still to come, we'll catch up with Eric Name at 8:35. Giannis got some backlash from his All-Star performance in the fourth quarter where he was held scoreless. We got some audio to play as Radio.com Sports NBA Insider Rick Bucher took some shots at Giannis. Some people out there defending him. We'll get to that in the 8 a.m. hour. Coming up, I want to talk about these Major League Baseball rule changes, which ones you like, which ones you don't like, in about 5 minutes from now, Freems. But really quickly, what are you watching on TV tonight? Because this is the problem I'm having, is NFL season officially done. Baseball, while I do like spring training, I don't really care about baseball. I mean, I care, but I don't care. I don't really start paying attention until, obviously, opening day. College hoops, a couple weeks back, I said there wasn't enough star power, that I like the parity, but I miss, you know, having those five or six teams that are the top teams that you know are most likely going to be contending for a title. The North Carolinas, the Kentuckys, the Blue Bloods. As much as I hate those teams, I like when they're competitive. I think it's good for college basketball. I enjoy watching Marquette. The Badgers bore me to death, but I still watch them, still root for them. What are you watching tonight? Because college hoops, man, it's grown on me again this weekend. A lot of good games.
They're going to have 18,000. At the Marquette game tonight at Fiserv Forum.
How come? They're giving away Marcus Howard bobblehead night?
No, you know, they
do.
They draw well.
They do. You know what? When I covered my first Marquette game, it was, I think, like an 11 a.m. tip-off. The breakfast was awesome that they served in the media room. They had brunch. It was great. But the best part about it was I walked into the Bradley Center, and this is a couple of years back, and I never covered a Marquette game. Hell, growing up, I didn't even know Marquette was in Wisconsin. And I walked in there, and I was like, oh, my God, they're serving beer. And this place is packed. I was like, the energy, and now this, I'm talking the Bucks 3 years ago. I'm like, the energy is better in here at the Bradley Center for our Marquette game than it is for a Bucks game.
Go, if you go downtown on when Marquette is playing on a Saturday afternoon, tough to get a seat, a cheap seat. Now, there's a couple of seats available for tonight's game, but they're going to have a packed house. Creighton's in town tonight. They lost to Creighton back on January 1. Huge game. At the end of the month, they play Seton Hall at home a week from Saturday. And that is going to be the game of the year for Marquette. They got to win that one, and they got to win tonight. They're working for seeding right now and working for trying to get a real good seed in the NCAA tournament. So they got to take care of business at home against Creighton. They're playing some good basketball right now, Marquette is. They're on a nice little roll. They beat Butler recently, and got to keep winning. You got to beat these upper-half teams like Creighton.
Yeah, you have to do it. I mean, you had a one-point loss to Villanova. I think it's tough to say with Marquette because last year I thought there was one. I mean, they were in the top 10 at one point of the season. They had the Hauser brothers. You know, Theo John was playing solid basketball. I feel like when I watch Marquette, something's changed the last month and a half where Marcus Howard, he still takes a lot of shots, and he should. He's the best player. He's the leading scorer in the nation. But his vision's gotten a little bit better, his court vision, and they're actually rotating the ball. They're moving the ball around a little bit. They're running offensive sets. Other guys are stepping up. I feel like Marquette, I wouldn't be shocked if they actually went to the Sweet 16. I mean, the goal, obviously, for Woj has to be win one NCAA tournament game. I wouldn't be surprised if they made it to the second week of the NCAA tournament. The Badgers, on the other hand, I mean, unless they find a way to get those games played in Madison come tournament time, I just don't see them going on a run. I just don't think they have a guy that could create his own shot that could take over a game in the second half. Whereas Marquette, with Marcus Howard, let's say he gets on a roll like John Morant got for Murray State last year, which I'm not comparing the two players, obviously, but I think Marquette can make a solid run in the tournament. I really do.
You know, they have a lot of guys who are playing well for Marquette right now. I love Colby McEwen.
Yeah.
McEwen is, when that guy puts up a shot, a three-point shot, I feel really good about it. I didn't maybe last year, but I do this year. And, you know, they got guys like Kane coming off the bench who are playing very well. A bunch of different guys, I think, are stepping up to the plate, and they're really turning the corner here. Now, a month ago, I didn't think this was the tournament team. The eye test said, man, this if they make it to the tournament, they're going to lose a first-round game. But I could see them coming on strong in tournament time and the way they're playing right now. Wisconsin, they're home against Purdue tonight. So what does that mean? Another Cole Sutter ass whipping for the Badgers.
Oh, yeah. And Purdue's a weird. The Big Ten is just weird, whereas Purdue, Minnesota, all these teams are kind of the same team. On their home floor, they look really good. Hell, Michigan, Indiana. But you do have some top teams in the Big Ten. Like, I think Penn State is a legitimate Final Four contender, as crazy as that sounds. I was really high on Illinois. They've come back down to earth.
Illinois lost to Maryland a couple weeks ago at a game we aired right here on The Fan.
Ohio State was number one in the nation a couple months back. Yeah. Then they just fell off the face of the earth, and now
Rutgers,
they're playing good basketball. Rutgers does not lose at home. They haven't lost a home game.
They haven't, no. they've run the table at home. They're like 16-17-0 at home.
Now, it's unfair because everybody else just travels within a two-hour, three-hour radius to travel to these games. Then you have to go out in the middle of nowhere to go play Rutgers. It makes no sense they're in the Big Ten.
But, you're right, yeah. Rutgers should not be in the Big Ten.
A home game. It's crazy.
But I think, man, the Big Ten, each and every one of these games have been really, really good.
Yeah.
I mean, the game on Sunday between Minnesota and Iowa.
That was a great game.
Minnesota's up by 8 late in the game, and then Iowa went on an 11-point run.
Without Luka Garza, who fouled out of the game, their best player, could be college basketball player of the year. Right.
Foul trouble most of the game, but, you know, he's really good. I still think Illinois is going to factor in. I mean, Illinois could, if they recover here, they could be a Final Four team.
Yeah.
I don't know about Michigan. Michigan State, man, losing to Maryland at home. Maryland is playing really. This is the Maryland team we thought it was going to be.
Michigan State is unranked. How crazy is that? Yeah. I look at that roster, and I mean, they have Cassius Winston, and there's not too many household names outside of like Marcus Howard, obviously, but guys that, you know, there's a lot of freshmen in college hoops this year and sophomores, so not a lot of household names. I thought Michigan State was going to be a top 10 team, even though they're unranked. This is just typical Tom Izzo, a Tom Izzo Michigan State team. I could see them making a run to the Final Four.
He's had teams like that where, yeah, unheralded, but somehow they find their way in the Final Four, maybe lose in the Final Four, but at least get there. But Michigan State has lost a few games in a row right now. I don't know what's going on because they got better. You know, they looked like they were coming back against Maryland on Saturday night, and then Maryland, which started hitting threes in the late stages of that game and recovered from a 7-point deficit and ended up winning. But Wisconsin tonight against Purdue, I'm looking for Wisconsin to win. Now, if this game was down at Purdue, I would say the other way.
Yep.
But Wisconsin is just amazing. Amazing at home.
Yeah.
Amazing. Here's what's going to happen tonight. They'll come out, Trice will hit a couple of threes, and they'll be on their way. They'll be on their way. They won't turn the ball over. They'll make every play defensively, and they'll probably win this game by 10-15.
Yeah, signature Greg Gard win.
Sure.
414-799-1250. Tweet at the show at 105.7 FM, The Fan. We're going to be talking with Eric Name in the next hour. We're also going to talk some Bucks basketball. Are we overblowing Giannis's fourth quarter scoreless night the fourth quarter of the All-Star game? We're going to talk about that. Before we get to that, Frames, I want to talk about these Major League Baseball rule changes now that they will be in effect for 2020. Talk about those. We'll talk some Giannis all coming up here on Chuck and Winkler on The Fan. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries, 414-799-1250. Tweet at the show. Find us on Facebook, all that fun stuff, as well as Instagram now at 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm on Twitter at Ryan Horvath, R-Y-A-N-H-O-R-V-A-T. Chuck Freeman, find him at Chuck Freeman. Sam Schmidt's producing the show as well. Bart will be back with us on Thursday. A little load management for Winks the next 48 hours. Major League Baseball, they're going to roll out several rule changes for the 2020 season. The most dramatic being the three batter minimum, I would say, for pitchers. Major League Baseball and the Players Union agreed to these changes in March of 2019. So these have been out there for a while, but the league just announced the implementation for the coming season at the start of spring training, which I thought was kind of crazy. So we're going to get these rule changes. The new three batter rule, that's going to require pitchers to face at least three batters or finish half an inning. That's going to have the biggest impact, I would say, on game action. However, we'll go through these rules, and I want to hear what you guys like, what you don't like. 414-799-1250. The three batter minimum frames, your thoughts?
Dumb, unnecessary, and it's not going to cut down the time of game, maybe by 3 minutes. You know, this has been a long-going strategy in baseball, managers going lefty-righty. And I don't, yeah, do I like it like late in the game where, you know, it takes 10 minutes to play, to make a change and bring this guy to the bullpen and face this right? But that's just the beauty of baseball. That is. That just, it's always been a part of baseball. And, you know, if we just can't sit through these pitching changes, which, again, I'm not a big fan of it, but that's just part of it. And now we're trying to force these managers in baseball teams, hey, you know what? If you're bringing this pitcher in this inning, he's got to stay in for three batters.
Right.
I mean, I don't like changing the course of history like that. I really don't. I think it's an unnecessary move.
See, exactly. I like the strategy of the game. That's the reason I love baseball, but I always have growing up. I've come from a family of baseball managers. I get it. No one enjoys the dead time of a pitching change. I went back and looked at this. In 2019, there were 649 appearances that would have not been allowed had the new rule been in effect. So based on those numbers, in 2018, 712 such appearances. 2017, 720. This past season, 649 appearances. The lowest total since 2000. So I get it. You're trying to speed the game up. I don't think that that's going to do anything for younger people. You either like baseball, you don't like baseball. I don't think pace of play has anything to do with it, to be quite honest. I just think that we continue to talk about this. You don't market your players the right way. Who is Mike Trout? Who is Bryce Harper? Nobody knows.
Well, I think some of these managers overmanage, too. It's like they'll bring in a left-handed pitcher to face a lefty.
But he overmanages a little bit.
Well, I think they all do.
Joe Maddon.
They all do. But, I mean, they'll bring in some of these managers will bring in a left-handed pitcher, Horvey, against a left-handed hitter, and that left-handed pitcher sucks.
Right.
I mean, he couldn't get a guy out if the guy was up there with a toothpick. The guy would still manage to get on base. Yet you take out a quality right-handed player, a pitcher, and you do the play the quote-unquote percentages by bringing his lefty, and before you know it, this lefty's giving up a rocket to the gap. So I don't always agree with this righty-righty-lefty-lefty thing. Because it's just, you know, if the left-hander's a bad pitcher, he ain't getting anybody out.
Right. No, I'm with you there. Roster size, another rule change. The number of active players on each team's roster will increase to 26, up from 25. Your thoughts on this rule change? So teams will be able to carry a 27th player for doubleheaders, by the way, as well.
Yeah, the few that happen because of rainouts.
Right.
I don't have a big problem. Brewers, this benefits the Brewers, actually, because they like to go, and the National League, because they like to go deep into their roster with the pitching changes and all that. So, you know, the Brewers, when they're a man short, they fret about it because they're like, man, when the Brewers look at their roster, they like to think going in each game, you know, we might be using all these guys tonight. At least all our bench guys.
Right.
So this rule actually benefits the Brewers.
Yeah, I like this one because then you look at September, you know, under the new rule, all teams will have 28 players. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how these teams use that extra spot when the rosters are finalized at the end of spring training. You know, are you going to have an extra bullpen arm, which I always complain about, another power bat off the bench, a defensive specialist, a base running specialist, that one guy that gets picked up every single year, Gore, he was on the Cubs, like maybe you just get a pinch runner towards the end of the year. Position players pitching, another rule. In conjunction with the limit on the number of pitchers a team can carry, players must be designated as a pitcher, position player, or two-way player prior to each player's first day on the active roster, and the designation cannot be changed for the remainder of the season. Your thoughts on this one?
That doesn't do anything for me.
Same.
That's a meaningless rule.
I just wondered about Ohtani. You know, because he's a two-way player, obviously.
Yeah.
So he could be designated as a two-way player, so that's not going to count towards the new 13-pitcher limit.
Yeah.
So there's ways to get around it.
That's a rare rule. That's one of those rare rules that'll be instituted.
Another rule, the injured list, the IL, pitchers placed on the injured list will have to miss a minimum of 15 days rather than the 10-day minimum for position players. The minimum IL stay was changed from 15 to 10 before the 2017 season. You care about that one at all?
So it's been expanded again.
Yep.
Yeah. No.
15 days.
No. No, it doesn't affect me. Doesn't affect. I mean, I guess it might affect one start for a guy coming off the disabled list. Maybe that's it.
Right.
Otherwise, big deal.
Right, exactly. I mean, trips to the injured list have topped 700 every season since 2017. Wow, that's ridiculous. The last rule change, the length of minor league options with some exceptions for IL or some other things. All players optioned to the minors have had to stay there for at least 10 days before being recalled. In 2020, minor league options for pitchers will switch to a minimum of 15 days. The option period will remain 10 days. For position players, they make that change to make pitchers remain in the minors for at least 15 days before being recalled. Another step to prevent teams from repeatedly rotating fresh arms on and off the big league roster. Your thoughts on that?
Teams have abused that rule in the past, and that's what they're doing here. That's what they just don't want that rule abused, so they're going to expand it to 15 days. That's what they're covering there. Yeah, these rule changes. I think the only one that really matters is that the three pitcher or the three batter. Rule for the pitchers.
Definitely the biggest one. That's the only one that I'm even paying attention to.
Yeah.
With the rule changes and with the off-the-field controversy, not really off-the-field, I guess on the field, but with the Astros sign-stealing and whatnot, are you just kind of over baseball, or are you like excited for spring training at all, or is it all just this negativity is kind of bringing you down?
No, and this whole thing with the Astros and the rule changes, no, that's not going to bring down my excitement for the team. If anything, what should bring down your excitement for the team...
Is the team?
Is the lack of, I think quality moves that have been made in the offseason by the Brewers.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
And the fact that, the rule changes and all that, what the Astros did, they're in the American League anyway. So that doesn't really bother. It's a cheating story, but they're not the only ones who are cheating out there in baseball. But the Brewers, I got to get the blood boiling a little bit on this upcoming season because it's a year ago this time, I couldn't wait for the season to start.
I know. 2 years ago.
Because of the fact that I thought they had a team that could win the division championship. And they went to the postseason. They went to the postseason last year, just not good enough to win the division title, but they had to put on a hell of a run in September just to get there. I don't know about this team. So, we better not be battling the 500 mark all year long.
If they're out of contention come June, just put me out of my misery. 414-799-1250. Are you concerned at all with the fourth quarter of the All-Star game for Giannis? Some national media members taking some shots yesterday. We got that audio. Hear from you next. It's Chuck and Winkler, hour two in the books here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.